Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you for a full supply of the Spirit here in this place today. I thank you that you anoint my lips of clay to speak forth as of the oracles of God. I thank you, Lord, that you enable me to impart to these precious people that which you have for them today, Lord, concerning the ministry of angels, part two. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I have some notes prepared, Father, but I'll not bind myself to them. We'll go in the direction you want us to go, and we trust you to help us, Father. And I say that everyone in this room will hear something today that'll cause them to live higher in you, in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, where did I ask you to go? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. You can also put your finger in Galatians chapter 1 then. Amen. I'm teaching you this morning out of my personal syllabi, volume 2 of Understanding Miracles of the Bible. I did a one-year study, preached and taught and studied for one solid year on nothing but the miracles of the Bible. Amen. And I'm going to be teaching you out of the syllabi here this morning concerning miracles and angels. Amen. We're going to be looking at angels, the ministry of angels in the book of Acts. You're going to Galatians 1 and keeping your finger in Hebrews chapter 1. I haven't forgotten. Amen. Last time we talked about angels around here, miracles and angels, part 1, we saw that humans are in authority in this earth, not God. Human beings. God has placed human beings in authority in this earth over the angels and over the demons. Amen? And if you don't believe that there's demons in this earth, then you're going to have to go cut about, I'd say about 204, 205 holes in your Bible. If you're just going to eliminate every time Jesus talked about demon spirits during his earth ministry. Amen? There are angels in this earth. There are demons in this earth. Amen. And the Bible says that the nation of Israel provoked their angel to wrath because they would not obey the word of God. They would not obey God's leadership. They would not obey the angel of God when God sent him to defend them. They were in constant rebellion against the word of God and provoked their angels. You know, you can provoke your angels through disobedience to the precious, holy, written word of God. When you go to church when you feel like it and you don't when you don't. Amen. That's not being the Christian. That's not being obedient. Part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Amen. Do you get that? You pay tithes and you don't give 10% of your increase. You give 3% and you call it a tithe. That's not only disobedience, that's lying. A tithe is a tenth. Leviticus 27:30 says, the tithe is holy and it is the Lord's. Oh, brother, one of those guys who hops on tithing. I don't hop on tithing, but I teach on it strong. Amen? It's the first step in the supernatural prosperity so that God can put you in position to where you can finance the preaching of the gospel in this earth. Amen? So that's just a little side trail for you as we get started here. Amen. We're not even going to take an extra offering for that. Amen. If you want to see the ministry of angels operate proficiently in your life, we're going to have to. I say myself too. Amen. I'm talking to myself whenever I'm talking to you. We have to obey God concerning Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together with one another. Particularly as we see the day approaching. We have to be in church. Christianity is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. No voting. God's already said how it's going to be. He said you're going to be faithful in church attendance. You're going to be faithful in your tithes and your offerings. And a tithe is a tenth in the Hebrew and the Greek. And I'm going to bless you when you are. Amen. Let's not even talk about the curses that come from disobeying church attendance and paying tithes and offerings. Amen. Let's not even go there. Let's just obey God and be blessed. Amen. Amen. Now, hallelujah. I just needed to give you a little heads up there because we're going to be talking about the ministry of angels. Angels are sent into this earth to minister on behalf of the servants of God to provide and to protect for us, but they know when we're in disobedience. They know when we're not obeying the Word of God. They might be invisible, but they're not blind. You can't see them, but they can see you. Amen? And they know the Word of God. They have superior intellect of God's Word. They don't know all things, but they have supernatural intellect. They understand the precious, holy, written Word of God. And they know when people are in obedience to it, God's children I'm talking about, and when they're not. Amen? And you know the devil knows when you're in disobedience too. He knows when you're obeying him, when he says, you don't have to go to church. Don't get all hung up. What are you, you know, don't be a fanatic. He's trying to get you into disobedience. Oh, you don't have to pay your tithe. No, pay your bills first and pay a tithe on what's left. That's the quickest. Somebody said to me one time, God knows I can't afford to pay tithes. I've got to take care of my family first. And I said, God knows if you don't pay your tithes, you aren't taking care of your family. You are jeopardizing your family, and you are opening the door to the devil to come and to attack you. We saw it happen to a man who was making a fortune. He invented that high-pressure hot water steam cleaner for oil rigs, for cleaning oil rigs. He's a family member. Now, I'm talking about a family member. God gave him an idea for an invention. You see it in car washes today, the pressure, high pressure spray at the car wash. God gave him an idea for an invention that sold all over the world. He invented a high pressure portable cleaner, and he was making a fortune off it, manufacturing it himself, a family member. And he wouldn't pay his tithes. He said to me, God and I have a special arrangement. I don't have to pay my tithes. And I said, the only arrangement God has with you is right in Malachi chapter 3, my brother-in-law. Malachi chapter 3. And he said, if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with the curse. To make a long story short, that man would not listen. The Firestone Corporation came along, and under the guise of wanting to partner with him, stole his business. Stole the invention God gave him. Made millions off of it. Millions God intended for him to make and to pump into the gospel. Am I telling the truth? Hallelujah. Then he lost his house. And it was just a short matter of time before his wife, my precious wife's sister, died tragically of cancer. He wouldn't listen. Church attendance and tithing. He said, I got a special arrangement with God. I said, your special arrangement's with the devil and you don't know it. Amen? God does nothing apart from His Word. Well, where are we at here today? Hallelujah. We're talking about angels. We're going to have to go quickly. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1, is that what I said to you? Okay, we're going to move quickly because we're going to look at angels in the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit interrupted me. Huh? The Holy Spirit never interrupts. Amen? That wasn't plan B. That was plan A up there just now. Amen. I came here to talk about angels, but I told the Lord, I gotta tell him all the time, you hear me in prayer. Anything you want to do, Holy Spirit. I come prepared to do one thing. You got something else going on? Hallelujah. You put me and put us right in the middle of it. Amen. So we're here in Hebrews as soon as the pastor can get there. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll pick it up right here. We're going to go quickly. We're going to read a lot of scripture this morning. So if you've been out of the Word this week, you're about to make up for it. Amen? And that's good. Hebrews 1. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Verse 13. But to which of the angels, please say angels, said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. No angel was ever told that. But Ephesians chapter 2, as a believer, you were told to sit at his right hand in Christ. Amen? See, that reveals we're above the angels. Amen? Are they, the angels, not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The angels of God are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to you if you are an heir of salvation. Look at chapter 2. Paul didn't put this division here. Someone else did this. He's still talking. Therefore, and when you see the word therefore, what do? You back up and you see what it's there for. What's he talking about? He's talking about the ministry of angels. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He's talking about the ministry of angels, and he's telling us, don't let the ministry of angels be overlooked in your life. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, talking about the fact that Moses received the law from angels, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, talking about Israel's disobedience, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, he hasn't changed the subject. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about angels in context. Amen? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them, Israel, witness, both with signs and wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. Now, we could go further here, but we're not going to, if you look up here. What I want you to see, Paul said here, he said, how shall we escape all the evil that's in the world if we neglect the ministry of angels? Amen? Angels are here as part of God's plan of deliverance and protection in your life. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, we're not going to go there. You go over to Galatians chapter 1. As you're on the way over there, I will remind you that there are 7 references in Revelation 2 and 3. If you want to put that in your notes, if you have a bulletin, there's room to put notes on the back of your bulletin. Jesus revealed to the Apostle John that there were 7 angels set over 7 different churches, revealing that there are angels assigned to local churches. The gathering is a local church. Now, on your own time, you can go read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and you'll see that there were 7 angels, each one of them assigned to a single church. That reveals to us that local churches, when they're raised up by the Spirit of God and not by man, have angels assigned to them. Most churches don't even know that. Most local churches don't even know that there's an angel assigned to them. And according to Psalm 103, 20 and 21, we can talk to them, we can commission them, and we can assign them to go and round folks up and cause them to come in. Cause the money to come in. Cause the material goods that we need to come in. I talk to my church angel. I talk to my personal angel. We talk to our personal angels, plural. Everybody in this room has more than 2 angels assigned to them. This local church has at least 1 assigned over the church, and every person in this room, Matthew chapter 18 reveals, has at least 2 angels assigned to them. You don't have 1 guardian angel. Jesus said that the children's angels, plural, are ever before the face of the Father. The children's angels, their angels, are ever before the face of the Father. You have angels, plural, assigned to you at birth. And they don't bail out when you become of legal age. They don't just boogie because you grew up. They stay with you and they escort you home when your time comes, the Bible reveals. You can pick up that little track over there on the table and it's called Your Angels, Past, Present, and Future. It's right there on the table. And you'll see that there's angels assigned to you at birth. There's angels that are assigned to you all through your life. And there's an angel assigned to take you home. Luke chapter 16. When your time comes. Amen. Angels are at work in this earth. They exist. I've seen them. You know, if you've been around here at all, I have had no less than 10 visitations of angels in my life. Most recently, at Dowsers Beach in Austinville, Massachusetts, that time my wife was with me on March the 13th and March the 15th when 2 different angels appeared at 2 different times and came to give us instruction concerning the body of Christ on Cape Cod. Am I telling the truth or am I a big fat old liar? If I'm not telling the truth, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth and may I never preach a gospel message again. I've had no less than 10 visitations of angels in my life. 2 3 visitations of Jesus. Amen? There's a spirit world. You are a spirit. You are not a body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. You are a spirit being in this earth. And there are angels assigned to help you, the real you, the spirit you in that body, to walk out your probationary period in this earth, to protect you, to guide you, direct you, provide for you supernaturally. Amen? But we need to look at something here before we move on. And we might end up going into Angels Part 3, it's looking like already, amen? We might not get through this whole lesson. If we don't, we'll pick it up next week, amen? We're talking about miracles, amen? When you preach on divine healing, people get healed. When you preach on salvation, ask Billy Graham, people get saved, amen? When you preach on miracles, people experience miracles. And the Lord told me, you preach on miracles through the end of the year. He told me, you take care of the full seats, I'll take care of the empty ones. We're believing God to see supernatural beacons and tokens and demonstrations around here that cause people to come running to find out what's happening at the gathering. And I can stand up like Peter did on the day of Pentecost and direct them to Jesus. Amen? That's what miracles are all about, to draw attention to Jesus and to glorify God, not to glorify man. Amen? I want to show you something right here. I'm just kind of talking to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit here today. I can tell already it's not going to go the way I planned, but that's better that way. Amen? You don't need to hear from me. You need to hear from God. Amen? In Galatians chapter 1, I want you to see something that Paul said in verse 8. This is Paul writing to the Galatians. He said, but though we, himself, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Or that word is anathema. It means excommunicated. It means give him the left foot of fellowship. Amen? Don't listen to him. Any angel that comes and speaks against the precious, holy, written word of God, you are not to listen to. And then look what else he said in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach, is Jesus a man? Is Jesus a man? He's a human being, amen? He's fully God, but he's fully man. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. That means if any man, even Jesus, appears to you, or who you think might be Jesus, and speaks against the word of God, let him be accursed. Don't listen to him. Amen? Comes and speaks against the blood, out the door he goes. Comes and speaks against the virgin birth, out the door he goes. Comes against the sinless life, speaks against the sinless life, vicarious death, resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ, speaks against any major Bible doctrine, heaven or hell included. Give them the boot. Don't listen to them. Even if it's a supernatural manifestation. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. Satan himself can disguise himself as an angel of light, and his ministers can disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. Satan can disguise himself as Jesus and appear to you and lie and get you off the word. I'm thinking of a precious man right now, right here on Cape Cod, a born-again man, loves Jesus with all his heart, probably been saved longer than I've been alive. And I sat in a room and I listened to him tell me and other people in the room that Jesus appeared to him and told him there's no such place as hell. Nobody goes to hell. Everybody's going to heaven. I said, brother, that wasn't Jesus. That was an angel of light. That was the devil disguising himself as a minister of righteousness. I don't discount your vision and I don't discount your sincerity, but I discount your doctrine. Because the Bible refers to hell, the place of the unrighteous abode, over 50 times. Jesus referred to it over 20 times in the Gospels alone. Luke chapter 16, go read it for yourself. There is a real hell and it's in the center of the earth. You realize the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, the very last chapter, the very last verse. Don't read it now. Put it in your notes. I mean, yeah, I can't tell you you can't look at your Bible. But just don't get hung up over there if you go have a peek. All right, go ahead, take a look at it, everybody. We'll read it together, I know. The very last verse of the very last chapter reveals. How many in this room understand that God's going to renovate this earth by fire? And He's going to come and set up heavenly Jerusalem in present-day earth Jerusalem. And He's going to rule throughout all of eternity right here from planet Earth. Do you know that? Okay. And we're going to spend eternity right here on planet Earth with Him for all of eternity. And inside of this planet Earth, where we're going to be spending eternity with Holy God, there is a place called hell. And when we're on this earth, after it's renovated by fire, there is a place somewhere on this earth where we can go and we can look into hell and see the people who are suffering for rejecting God's plan of escape in Jesus. Who's over there in the last chapter? So I need a loud reader. Somebody who will read loud, Helen. Read the last verse.
And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die.
That means their spirit.
Neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh.
Can you see that right there? From right here on planet Earth. I don't know how it's possible. Neither do you so there. But we see it in the Word of God. There is a hell. It's a real physical place. People who reject Jesus are going to spend eternity there. It doesn't matter what the universalists are trying to come on to Cape Cod and teach you through the false counterfeit movement called the Glory of God on Cape Cod. Now, people get mad at me for this, but I got scripture. You go to the website, you read the article, go to johnhamelministries.org, and you read the article that I wrote on the deceptive movement called the Glory of God on Cape Cod. It's a universalist movement. Universalists do not believe that anybody's going to hell. They do not believe that you have to personally make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. They believe in Jesus' work at Calvary, but they believe what He did at Calvary has already saved everybody. No one's going to hell. You don't have to accept it. God in His goodness has already saved everybody. Every sinner in the world is saved and going to heaven. That's a lie. That's universalism. That's what the universalists believe. It's not true. There is a hell. And you can find your way there if you're persistent. Tough thing to do from America. I always tell folks it's real tough to get to hell from America. Because there's a church in every street corner. Amen. Everybody's got cable TV and the internet. You can just hear the gospel preached on every way you turn. It's tough to get to hell from America. But you can do it if you're persistent, if you reject God's means of escape through Jesus. My point to you is this right now. If an angel comes and says to you, what I personally sat and heard that man on Cape Cod say with his own mouth, Jesus appeared to me. And He told me there is no such place as hell, and everyone's going to heaven. I just said I didn't want to embarrass Him. I was a guest where He was speaking. So I just let it go. Believe God for an opportunity to take a run at Him later. Amen. I didn't want to humiliate Him. He wasn't being a hypocrite. He was sincere. But He was sincerely wrong. Sincerely deceived. Paul said if anybody comes, an angel or even a man disguising himself as Jesus appears to you supernaturally and preaches anything contrary to what we've already taught you, let him be excommunicated. Paul actually said, put him out of your midst, is what he said. Hallelujah. Now, if you know who the man is, I'm not telling you don't fellowship with him. You're probably the very one God's going to use to reach him. Amen. So we want to be watchful as we go through the book of Acts and we look at the ministry of angels. This is what the Lord put on my heart. To let you know from Galatians 1, 8 and 9 as we start. And we're not going to get very far with it today. You need to know there are angels in this earth right now. They're in this room right now. I personally have had no less than 10 visitations of angels in my life. If they come and they speak contrary to sound biblical doctrine and say foolish things like there is no hell, when we got over 50 verses of scripture to prove there is a hell and it's in the bowels of the earth, you just read it in Isaiah, amen? They come and say foolish things like that, or they tell you to do illegal things or immoral things. They're not angels of God. They're angels of darkness disguised as angels of light. Now, Pastor, why are you harping on being careful about what angels say to you? I'll tell you why. Because in Joel 2:28 it says, in the last days there's going to be greater manifestations of all that is supernatural. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will have visions. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And there'll be signs in the heavens above and wonders in the earth beneath. We're on the verge of revival in this country, and we are about to see supernatural manifestations right here on little old America, who everybody has given up on. I'm here to tell you today, America is about to see her finest hour through revival, and there's going to be supernatural manifestations occurring in this country unlike any other time in all of human history. And you need to be ready to not be deceived by false doctrine, false angels, angels of darkness disguised as angels of light, Satan himself disguising himself as Jesus. Any angel that comes and tells you anything and says it's from God, if you don't know scripture, you say to the angel, give me scripture. Say right to him and give it to me in context. And don't mess with me. I'll slap you right upside the head. Well, as if it's a demon, you know. You tell me. Listen, I'm not saying that disrespectfully. You know, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, he had multiple visitations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably more visitations of Jesus. Come and sit down for hours and teach that man the Bible. Jesus Christ. You get his book, I Believe in Visions. Get his book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, where he talks about all the visions he's had of Jesus. Many times Jesus would appear to Brother Hagin and tell him something, and Brother Hagin would say, well, Jesus, I never saw that in the scripture. You're going to have to give me 2 verses of scripture. And Jesus says, okay, Kenz, I'll give you 6. And to take him right through the Word of God. Show him something he never saw from scripture before. Jesus said, and I'm talking about angels. I know where I'm going. I haven't lost my place. Amen. God's getting people ready for the supernatural because it's a coming. He would tell Jesus, you have to give me scripture. I never saw that before. And he said, Jesus would always smile and say, I'll give you 6 verses. I'll give you 8 verses. He was proud that Kenneth would tell him, you're going to have to prove that to me from the Word. He was making sure he's really dealing with Jesus. There's only one way to know the Word. There's only one way to walk with God, according to the Word. You can't have your own relationship with God. Look what happened to my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law. Trying to have their own relationship with God as Christians, but apart from the Word, don't work that way. Amen? So when I say if an angel appears to you, he tells you to do something, he's given you some sort of special revelation from Scripture like he did Joseph Smith, the Mormon Church was founded on one verse of Scripture taken out of context by an angel of darkness disguised as an angel of light. An angel comes and tries to do that to you, you say you give me Scripture and you give it to me in context and you give me at least 2 or 3 verses, preferably from the New Testament, because Jesus said in Matthew 18, in the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word will be established. He was saying this. You make sure you have 2 or 3 verses of Scripture. You make sure I'm giving you 2 or 3 verses of Scripture for every doctrine I'm teaching you in context, preferably from the New Testament, or you shouldn't even be listening to me. That's why I always give you tons of Scripture. We're a Word church and a Spirit church, but we're a Word church. Amen. I give you Scripture in context. If you have any question about what I'm teaching, you come to me. And if I can't answer your question satisfactorily from Scripture, I shouldn't be teaching what I'm teaching. You understand where I'm going, don't you? Any angel who comes and he can't prove to you that he came from God, from the Bible, and he takes Scripture and twists it out of context, that's the one I say, slap him upside the head. Tell him, you take a walk, Butterbean. Well, we're not afraid of the devil. He's afraid of us, amen? I'm really just preaching all around. Galatians 1, 8, and 9 here this morning, aren't I? Before we even get rolling in angels in the book of Acts. This is part 2. We're going to have to go to part 3 to get the job done. Angels can be demons in disguise. I saw one. Do you recall the story I told you about the first time I had an angelic visitation right up in Woburn, Massachusetts? Can any good thing come out of Woburn? Well, that's where I was supernaturally saved and delivered from drug and alcohol addiction 28 years ago this spring. And I told you an angel appeared at the foot of my bed. I woke up one night. I'm going to tell you again because the Holy Spirit's moving on me to go this way with this. Amen? Helen goes, that's a good one. Helen, they're all good. But I appreciate your support. Hallelujah. It's one of my biggest supporters. Amen? Hallelujah. At the end of my... It's in the dark of the night. I'm saved maybe 2 or 3 months. Had just been slain in the Spirit 2 or 3 months before that. As you know, you can read my testimony at johnhamillministries.org. It's called the Albuquerque Fire Pit. That's a good one too, isn't it, Helen, my testimony? It's all good. Because it's all God. Amen? That hand came on my head. I was slain in the Spirit in my living room for 3 days. When I woke up, I was no longer addicted to drugs or alcohol. Supernatural. A couple of months later, I'm laying in my bed at night. And I woke up, the room was dark, and there was a being standing at the end of my bed who was the most beautiful, luminous creature I had ever seen. I'm telling you what, it frightened me. As beautiful as he was, absolutely frightened me. I ran with all my strength to the back wall, and it was only 2 feet away. And I got up against the wall, and I pulled my legs up underneath me. I had the blankets pulled up under my chin. We all know how protective blankets can be when you're dealing with supernatural beings. And here he is, shining in the night, standing at the foot of my bed. And I just stared at him. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. Not like that. And all of a sudden, I looked in his arms, and he was holding a baby. And I looked at the baby, the crying baby, and it was my younger brother's face. Well, not my younger brother. My mother turned around and had a baby late in life, too. So it was my second youngest brother. And he's crying. And this angel is holding him. This beautiful angel is holding him, and he's crying. And I'm up against the wall figuring, what in the world? And all of a sudden, beside this beautiful creature holding my brother, appeared another creature. Kind of like Star Trek style, when they dematerialize and rematerialize. He just began to appear out of nowhere. He was coming into this realm. And he was more luminous, more beautiful than the one who I had initially looked at, who was holding my brother. He made the other one look ugly in contrast. And I realized, that's a real angel. The other one's a phony. And that real angel, oh, he was so beautiful, so vibrant, so big. So bright, he was as bright as the brightest white you could ever see, but the light wasn't radiating into the room. It was staying right on him, and the room remained dark. How does that happen? I don't know, neither do you. So there. He just looked at the angel, who I realized, that's a false angel. I came to discover later that was Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Holding my brother, this real angel just looked at him, and as soon as he did, that ugly old thing that I thought was beautiful until I saw him in contrast, until I saw the counterfeit in contrast to the real, he just gave my brother over to that angel. And he disappeared. And I realized, oh Lord, I was almost fooled by that. I thought that was an angel holding my brother. And as I looked at this angel holding my brother, he stopped crying. And my brother and the angel just dissolved and they were gone. Well, I hadn't seen my brother for years, my brother Jeffrey. It was probably within a year after that I encountered my brother in California for the first time in probably 4 or 5 years, I hadn't seen him. I led him to the Lord, and I left for 2 weeks, and it's been 26 years, and I never went back, and I never saw him again. I don't know where he is, but I know even if he's not alive, he's in heaven, because that angel took my brother from that devil, and I knew what it was symbolizing. Amen? My point is this. That first angel that I saw, woo, I thought he was a beauty. He was a counterfeit. Until I saw the real one. When the real one showed up, I realized what an ugly monster that thing really was. I don't know how else to put it to you. But Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. When we're dealing with angels, or those who present themselves as angels, we must absolutely demand Scripture if they give us direction. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they tell you to do something that's illegal, immoral, or unscriptural, they're not from God. You know Romans chapter 13? Put that in your notes, 1 through 8. We are commanded to obey the laws of God in this earth. We are commanded to obey civil authorities. Paul called them magistrates. Any angel that tells you to break a law, even if it's to benefit somebody, any angel that tells you to break a civil law, even to benefit somebody, wasn't from God. Because angels don't disobey God. Amen? We are commanded to obey civil authorities because Paul said all magistrates are put in power by God, whether they're saved or unsaved, they're put in those positions by Almighty God, and we are to obey them unless they tell us to do something that's contrary to Scripture. Because the Word of God is the higher authority. Amen? So, we're talking about angels. They are ministering servants sent forth to minister on behalf of those of us who are heirs of salvation. And we're going to be seeing a whole lot more angelic activity in this earth in these days that we live in. We're about to go into revival. We're experiencing it now. It's happening now. Say it's happening now. It really, truly is happening now. Amen? We're going to see greater manifestations of the supernatural in the earth. I'm prophesying to you. I'm speaking prophetically by the Spirit of God. And it's going to happen right here on Cape Cod. Well, Pastor, what's taking so long? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. But it's happening. Amen? I know in this church we're getting grounded in the Word. My job is to get you grounded in the Word. So when these things occur, you know the difference between the counterfeit and the real. And just because there's counterfeits out there doesn't mean that there aren't real demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen? $20 bills, counterfeit $20 bills, they don't mean that there aren't any real bills out there. They mean there are real bills out there and someone's trying to counterfeit them. Amen? For wrong purposes. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the power gifts. We believe in the revelation gifts. We believe in the utterance gifts. We believe in all 9 gifts of the Spirit. But we don't accept counterfeits around here. Amen? That's why we taught you on the gifts of the Spirit. And that's why we have this little thing. Barbara, is it out here today? The gifts of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Where is it? Right below the faith thing right here. The gifts of the Spirit. Listen. Up. People, please, pastoral counsel, if you haven't received one of these and started working on this thing, you need to get one now, and you need to be able to define all 9 gifts of the Spirit, and you need to be able to recognize when they're manifesting in your midst and when they're manifesting in your own life. And this will help you. Amen? Hallelujah. So we give them to you. Raise your hand if you didn't get one of these. If you didn't get one, you got one now. Amen? If you want more to pass out to your friends, you let us know. I'm strongly admonishing you as the pastor of the gathering at Cape Cod. Get hooked up with the gifts of the Spirit. Be able to define them. Be able to break them into all 3 groups. I'm talking to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, we already know all of this. No, you don't, or the Holy Spirit wouldn't be telling me to go over it again. Amen? You know what it means when somebody, you're trying to minister to somebody, or you're trying to help somebody, and they keep saying to you, I know, I know, I know. I'm standing there thinking, yeah, you do know, but you're not applying it. That's why people keep saying, I know, I know, I know. It means they do know, but they're not making application of it. I want you to make application of the 9 gifts of the Spirit so that you can tell what the power gifts are, what the utterance gifts are, and what the revelation gifts are. So that you can do this. So you can tell me that the 3 power gifts are the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, and the gift of faith. So that you could tell me, if I asked you, that there are 3 revelation gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. So you can tell me, if I asked you, that there are 3 utterance gifts. Tongues, and interpretation, and prophecy, and be able to define them for me. Be able to define them. That's your responsibility before God. If you want to be prepared for the supernatural that's coming into this earth, that's even here now, the glorious outpouring of God, that even now is in our midst, if you want to be thoroughly, totally prepared for that, you need to be able to recognize the gifts of the Spirit and to be able to recognize counterfeits. John, how's your right ear this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. He gets an earful every time I go up that aisle. Here we are. I was going to talk about angels. And here's how the Lord's leading me today. You know, the working of miracles is one of the power gifts? Yes, Lord. It's when God suspends the laws of nature and moves supernaturally in the natural realm. The gifts of healings is another power gift. And it's when God moves and affects instant or near instant healing without the help of doctors or medicine. And he heals himself, or he uses an angel to do it, or he uses a human being to do it. That's what the gifts of healings are. It's almost always instant or near instant. The gift of faith, the third power gift, is the supernatural ability to believe God to provide for you and to protect you in times of crisis or extreme danger. You need to be able to do that. And you need to be able to recognize the power gifts when you're reading the Bible. Now, the 3 revelation gifts are discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is the supernatural ability to see into the realm of the Spirit, whether it's God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, angels, demons, spirit beings, spirit personalities, spirit animals. And it's also the supernatural ability to discern the spirit of another human being, to know if they're an evil person or if they're right on with God. If they came to help you or to hurt you. That's discerning of spirits. That's one of the revelation gifts. Another revelation gift is the word of knowledge. You need to be able to do this. This is Bible school. You want to move in the supernatural with God as he pours his spirit out upon the earth? You need to know that the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation. You just get the CD, it'll help you, amen? You get that little handout, it'll help you. You need to be able to do what I'm doing right now. I'm talking to you by the Spirit of God. It's a supernatural ability. Now let me just say it to you this way. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God, having to do with people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the past. You've got the past or the present. That's what the word of knowledge is. Supernatural revelation from the mind of God. Having to do with stuff, either in the past or the present. A word of knowledge isn't, I won't even go into what it isn't. You hear some flaky teaching, though. In the word of wisdom, that is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God, having to do with people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the future. You need to know that. Amen. Word of knowledge has to do with the past and the present. Word of wisdom has to do with the future. Some believers, right here on Cape Cod, ministers even teaching it, that the word of wisdom is great wisdom of God's word. That's not what it is. That's great knowledge of God's word is not supernatural. That'd be a natural thing. Amen? All of these gifts are supernatural, and none of them are. Well, I took you through the power gifts, and you know I know what they are, and I know how to define them. I took you through the revelation gifts. Now you know that I know what they are and how to define them. Let me take you through the utterance gifts. I challenge you, do what I did. Within a year of getting saved, I found out about the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and I went immediately and memorized them. I figured, you know, If that's how God moves in the earth, and I want to be right in the center of all He's doing in the earth, I think I better hook up with these things. So I did. Let me just tell you what the utterance gifts are. Tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Prophecy is just inspired utterance from God through a human being. It doesn't always have to do with the future. It can just be for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Betty gave a tongue this morning. Barbara interpreted it. That's prophecy. See, tongues and interpretation equal prophecy like two nickels equal a dime. All right? It can come just straight prophecy without tongues and interpretation. She could have just stood up and gave that word. Tongues is supernatural utterance from God or the Holy Spirit in an unknown tongue. Interpretation of tongues is the interpretation of the supernatural utterance in an unknown tongue that came from God. Tongues and interpretation equals prophecy. Prophecy can stand on its own without tongues and interpretation. Tongues plus interpretation, though, equals prophecy. Her interpretation was prophecy. Do you see that? I want to encourage you all, grab a hold of that sheet. This is about the fourth or fifth time, probably, in the past year I've stood up and encouraged you to do that. So how'd you like the lesson on angels today? Amen? Amen? You need to know what you're dealing with. Now, your hearts are all crying out, just like every other Pentecostal charismatic believer in this earth, for the glory of God on Cape Cod, the glory of God to come into the earth, right? Then don't you think we need to do everything we can to prepare for it and to be ready for it, to cooperate with it, to flow with it, and not be deceived by the counterfeit? The first way you're going to do that is by knowing the gifts of the Spirit. Homework assignment. Now, I said to you recently, when a police officer tells you to pull over, what do? When a doctor tells you to take medication, which we're not opposed to, what do? Come on, will you? You take it.
Sometimes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a school teacher gives you a homework assignment, what do? You do it. When the pastor tells you to familiarize yourself with all nine gifts of the Spirit, what do? I'd take a pastor more seriously than I'd take a police officer. See, if I take my pastor seriously, I won't have to be dealing with the cops. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. If I take what the pastor says seriously, I won't have to be dealing with doctors all the time. Amen? Paul said, this is Angels Part 2. We're going to have to move on to Part 3. Come on back next week. We'll be talking about angels in the Book of Acts. Amen? There's five examples of angelic manifestation in the Book of Acts, and they all apply to you. And you want to get back here next week and hear about this. Amen? Why? Because I'm trying to fill chairs so I have more people to preach to? No, I'm trying to get you through your probationary period while you're here on planet Earth, because you are going to spend eternity based upon how effectively you walked in obedience to God's Word while you were in this earth. Amen? If you don't know the Word, you can't walk according to it. My job is to teach you the Word. How can I teach you the Word if you're not here? Amen? How can I feed the sheep and clean the sheep if they never come to the barn? So you come back next week, and you'll find what those five occurrences are of angels in the Book of Acts, because the Book of Acts is the blueprint for the New Testament church today. Everything they received in the Book of Acts and operated in, we are to receive and operate in, including the ministry of angels. So as we just scratch the surface here today, let me just remind you again, the angels of God are sent forth to minister to you as heirs of salvation. And Paul said, don't neglect the ministry of angels. Too many individuals do. Too many churches do. Most churches don't even know they have an angel assigned to that church, and then multiplicity of angels assigned to each believer. You never even hear of it. But it's in the Scripture. Amen? And what they operated in the Book of Acts, what they received in the Book of Acts, we have to be operating in, and we have to be receiving. Amen? Listen, so we could go out of here today and the devil could move to deceive one of you with a false manifestation, an evil spirit appearing to you as an angel. And now you've got the upper hand because you know, give me Scripture. Amen? Give me Scripture. I told you, Brother Hagin would say to Jesus, I never saw that in the Bible, Jesus. You're going to have... You know, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and showed him that he had authority over the devil. And Brother Hagin hadn't come to that yet in the Bible. He didn't know that yet. And he thought that... Brother Hagin thought only Jesus could take authority over demons. And Jesus said, no, you. That little... Do you ever read about that vision where he was talking to Jesus? Jesus appeared to him and a little monkey jumped up between them and started saying, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety yak. And Jesus kept on talking behind the demon monkey. And Brother Hagin's thinking, I'm missing everything that he's saying. Why doesn't Jesus take authority over the devil? And finally, Brother Hagin got so irritated, he said to that yakety-yak demon monkey, stop it in Jesus' name. And the thing fell to the floor like a sack of salt. And Jesus said to Brother Hagin, it's a good thing you did that, because if you didn't, I couldn't. And Brother Hagin said, Jesus, you meant to say, if I didn't, you wouldn't. He said, Kenneth, I said, if you didn't, I couldn't. And he said, no, Jesus, what you really meant to... Imagine telling Jesus what he really meant to say. What you really meant to say was, you wouldn't. He said, I said, I couldn't. And he said, Jesus, you're going to have to give me 2 or 3 verses of Scripture. He said, I'll give you 6. And he took him through to Luke 10:19-20. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall harm you. James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Multiple other verses of Scripture. 1 Peter 5. And he gave him 6 scriptures, and Brother Hagin realized, my goodness, if I don't do something about the devil, there's nothing God can do. Jesus told him, I put you in authority in this earth. I gave it to Adam. The devil stole it from Adam. A man gave it away. Only a man could take it back. I came as a man, and I took Adam's authority back from the devil. Now I've given it to you. And if you don't do something about demons, and if you don't do something with angels, there's nothing I can do. Amen? So we're going to be dealing more. Stand up if you would, please. We're going to be dealing more with demonic principalities and counterfeits and the real McCoy in these last days, the ministry of angels. And as we get going in this, well, next week we'll move into part 3 of angels. Amen. I'm going to, listen, what is the key to good teaching?
Repetition.
You get any of that around here? Hallelujah. We climb the same mountain all the time. We just go up different paths. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to know, Paul said in Galatians 1:8-9, if an angel or even a man comes, disguised, supernatural being, appears to you and preaches any other doctrine other than that which we've taught you in his 14 epistles of the New Testament, he said, you let that supernatural being be accursed or excommunicate. I say, give him the left foot of fellowship. Amen. Tell him, go in Jesus' name. I won't receive from you. Amen. So this is a good place to start, but it's a bad place to stop. So you come on back next Sunday, and we will talk about the 5 occurrences of angelic ministry in the book of Acts, because it applies to you directly. You need to know it. Amen? Let's worship God for what we've heard here today. Oh, Father God, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.